89.9 Brainerd and on your smart speaker. We are People Powered Radio in Northern Minnesota. You can join us at KAXE.org.
Support for KAXE comes from Great Lakes Aquarium with its new exhibit, Lava to Lakes, offering a discovery into what was here before the land we call Minnesota, including sharks, jellyfish, and giant prehistoric fish. Hours and tickets at glaquarium.org. Quick look at our weather. It's going to be a pretty nice day, I think. We've got sunny skies, highs near 83, slight chance of showers late this afternoon, west winds 5 to 20, partly cloudy tonight, lows 59 to 63, and tomorrow about a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny, highs in the mid-80s. You can check out KAXE's guide to the 4th up north. We've got a huge collection of towns that have fireworks displays, parades, all sorts of things. It's listed by maps and dates, and it'll be easy to figure out what you can do, where you are going to be.
Yeah, there's plenty of events taking place, and I hope that that we run into one another while we're out having fun on the 4th of July.
Yeah, and right now weather looks a little like it could be, you know,
a little sketchy,
a little unpredictable, but we hope for the best, and things will go on as they can, and it'll be a fun day.
We'll have Tornado Bob in the 8 o'clock hour to perhaps run down the potential for nice weather on the 4th of July.
All right. Right now it's time for the Up North Report.
For KAXE News, I'm Danny Frere with the Up North Report. One person has died in a car crash Friday evening about 10 miles south of Aiken. 34-year-old Maggie Spichala suffered fatal injuries. She was driving an SUV with 39-year-old Patrick Spichala and five children ages 3 to 17 who all suffered non-life-threatening injuries. 18-year-olds Jimmy Dono and Cole Desmith were in a pickup truck and suffered non-life-threatening injuries. The family was headed north with a fish house on Highway 169. Dono and Desmith were traveling east on Tame Fish Lake Road when the vehicles collided. All involved are from Hazleton Township, where the crash took place. The Aiken Independent Age reports there is a GoFundMe set up to help the family with funeral and burial costs. Hundreds of nurses across northeastern Minnesota and the Braden Lakes area could strike next week. Megan Buffington has the story.
Over 400 Essentia Health advanced practice providers from nearly 70 facilities filed a 10-day strike notice Monday. They authorized an unfair labor practices strike last week. APPs include nurse practitioners and physician assistants. The bargaining unit voted to join the Minnesota Nurses Association last year. MNA says Essentia is violating federal labor law by refusing to begin negotiations for a first contract. Essentia is challenging the bargaining unit's certification, arguing hospital and clinic staff should be in separate units. Nearly half of all patient encounters and a majority of urgent care encounters are with APPs, according to Essentia. The provider says a strike could put patient care at risk. Erin Swanson is a nurse practitioner in Baxter and part of the APP's negotiating team. She says they're very mindful of the impact a strike could have. That's why they waited nearly a year to call for one.
No one wants to strike, right? Like, we all go into healthcare to take care of our patients. It's very stressful. My hope is that Essentia doesn't let it happen.
Essentia says it's exercising its legal right to review, and a strike will not speed up that process. Megan Buffington, KAXE News.
Governor Tim Walz declared a peacetime emergency on Friday following the severe storm that caused widespread damage in Beltrami County. Larissa Donovan in Bemidji has more.
The governor also directed state agencies to provide additional assistance to support recovery efforts. The emergency order allows for continued support to emergency responders in affected communities. The Division of Homeland Security and Emergency Management will continue coordinating on-site support for local government, and relevant state agencies will provide additional necessary assistance. Around the hard-hit city of Bemidji, crews have been hauling away tree debris from the storm. City Public Works Director Sam Anderson says the trees are being processed on site with a great big wood chipper.
And then that contractor is actually hauling it away. So we're creating capacity as we go. And so as far as the overall volume, I think we have a plan in place for that. But that could be something that comes up on a bigger scale as other facilities are starting to fill up. And that's still the unknown of how much really is there going to have to be.
A storm cleanup will likely take months, if not years. Anderson says crews will be around multiple times to help residents with their cleanup.
We're doing, at least right now, the first round on our city streets. We do anticipate a second, maybe even a third. We're still trying to get a scope and scale. There's people that are having struggles even pushing what they have to the street because of how much volume they do have.
Volunteers with the American Red Cross were expected to begin damage assessments around the storm-impacted areas of the Western Leech Lake Reservation on Monday. American Red Cross and Salvation Army will provide resources at the former First National Bank building in downtown Bemidji through Wednesday. Larissa Donovan, KAXE News.
The last day to comment on the draft report about the Big Fork River watershed is July 2nd. The Minnesota Pollution Control Agency report identifies strategies to improve water quality conditions in Island Lake, Shallow Pond, Jesse Lake, and Little Spring. It also identifies potential issues such as excess nutrients in Round Lake, Dunbar Lake, and Bowstring Lake in the Leech Lake Reservation. You can find the link to submit a comment on our website, kaxe.org. That's it for the Up North Report. From the KAXE News Desk, I'm Danny Frere, telling the stories of northern Minnesota through local news.
The Up North Report on KAXE is sponsored by Woodland Bank, dedicated to serving local businesses, families, and nonprofits in our area since 1920. You can find more information online at woodland.bank.
You can hear the latest edition of the Up North Report today at 5:30 during All Things Considered here on KAXE. Find more on those stories and much more at kaxe.org.
Support for KAXE comes from Schroeder Log Home Supply, supplying wood home and cabin owners with specialty sealants, preservatives, and wood finishes. More information at their Grand Rapids store or online at loghelp.com. The weather for today, sunny, highs near 83, slight chance of showers late this afternoon, winds west 5 to 20, partly cloudy tonight, 59 to 63. Wednesday, 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny. The weekend looks to be a bit wet.
There's more ahead from Morning Edition on KAXE.
It's Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Michelle Martin in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Leila Fadel in New York City. Good morning. When Zohran Mamdani announced his candidacy for New York City mayor last year, it's fair to say most people didn't know who he was and didn't think he had a chance. He's a democratic socialist, he's young, he's Muslim of Indian descent, and he didn't have the backing of his party's establishment. The New York Times editorial board urged voters not to vote for the 33-year-old, citing inexperience and pie-in-the-sky proposals. And even though Mamdani has kept affordability at the center of his campaign, others tried to define his identity with claims he would promote Islamic law, that he supports terrorism, that he's an anti-Semite.
I think there are a lot of concerns that are based upon a caricature of myself. And I don't blame New Yorkers for having that caricature because they've had to deal with more than $30 million of spending that paints me in that manner, that smears and slanders me, that artificially lengthens the color and the length of my beard, that calls me a monster.
New Yorkers, for the most part, didn't buy it. Mamdani became the presumptive winner of the Democratic primary last week and is now one step closer to becoming mayor of the nation's largest city. I sat down with him on Monday here in New York City and asked him what his party's leaders can learn from his win.
New York was the state that swung most towards Donald Trump, 11.5 points. And that swing happened in the hearts of immigrant New York City. And when I went to Fordham Road in the Bronx, when I went to Hillside Avenue in Queens a few days after that election, and I asked Democrats, who did you vote for and why? They told me again and again they voted for Donald Trump because they remembered being able to afford their life 4 years ago more than they could today. And I asked them, what would it take to bring you back? And they said, a relentless focus on an economic agenda.
Let's talk about your policies, because one of the criticisms that your detractors have is that It sounds great to have free childcare and free buses and groceries that you can afford. But a lot of what you're promising is out of the mayor's hand. It's something that will have to happen at the state level. It will have to happen with other actors. So how can you actually fulfill any of these promises?
Any mayor that has an ambition that meets the scale of the crisis of the people that they're seeking to represent will have to work with Albany. And the reason that I put forward this agenda is not only because it's urgent, but because it's feasible. And I say that to you as an assembly member who won the first fare free bus pilot in New York City, who saw that it wasn't simply about economic relief, it's also about public safety. The fact that assaults on bus drivers went down by 38.9% through this pilot. The fact that we actually saw an increase in riders who had previously been driving a car or taking a taxi. These are the reasons why we pursue this agenda. This is why we believe we can actually do it.
The way that you say you're going to pay for these programs is by increasing the taxes on corporations and then also an income tax on anybody who makes over $1 million, right?
Yes, 2%. The top 1% of New Yorkers.
So again, that's a non-starter for the governor, Kathy Hochul. She said that. So how are you going to pay for it?
I've appreciated my conversations with the governor. And one thing that I really appreciate about Kathy Hochul is she is laser focused on affordability. And what we've seen is that these policies I'm speaking to you about, they are not just policies that people are voting for incidentally while they're voting for me. They're voting for this platform.
But again, what makes you confident when you're hearing the governor say it's a non-starter? She hasn't also endorsed you yet, as these other leaders within your party have not done.
The experience that I've had. You know, over this campaign, there was a time when many of the ideas we were putting forward were considered to be distinct to our campaign. And yet, as we built it, more and more candidates started to embrace those same policies. And I am confident of seeing that happen across the political spectrum. Even Andrew Cuomo said that he wanted to explore making buses free. That was a recognition of the popularity of that as a proposal.
You made some waves this weekend when you said that you didn't believe that billionaires had the right to exist. What does that mean?
I was speaking about the stark nature of income inequality in this city and in this country. And ultimately, I think the better question is whether working people have the right to exist. Because what we've seen in this city is that more and more working people are being pushed out. And the vision that I'm speaking about, it's a vision that I want everyone to enjoy and benefit from, including billionaires. Though my taxes that I'm proposing are ones that would be on the top 1% of New Yorkers, on the most profitable corporations, it's not taxes that will detract from their life. It's in fact taxes that will benefit everyone across the city, including those who are being taxed. And ultimately, this is an interest in finding revenue to pay for something that will transform life in the city.
So you weren't proposing that your policies would ultimately lead to a New York with no billionaires?
No, that's not what I was proposing.
You are going to have what looks like a tough race in November. You already have people like billionaire Bill Ackman saying he'll give hundreds of millions of dollars to anybody who runs against you.
I think he also said some nice things about me as well.
What else did he say?
I think he said that I was smart, which I appreciated. Thank you, Bill.
Well, okay. But he also doesn't want you to be mayor of New York City. You know, and there are other corporations, wealthy New Yorkers who feel the same way. And there are some people who fear your candidacy. You have a support among some Jewish voters, and you have some Jewish voters who are extremely skeptical of you and afraid of your candidacy.
My job is to lead this entire city. My job is to address those very concerns that New Yorkers may have, be it for whatever basis. My commitment is now to have meetings with New Yorkers who may be concerned. Maybe it's, you know, a business leader who is worried about the impact of my tax proposals, and I get to share the fact that these are proposals that will make it easier for them to attract and retain talent. If I can speak with a Jewish New Yorker who's concerned about the issue of anti-Semitism, and I can share the fact that this is a real crisis that we have to tackle, and one that I'm committed to doing so through increased funding for actually preventing hate crimes across the city, and make it clear time and again that my commitment is to protect Jewish New Yorkers and that I will live up to that commitment through my actions. And that's what these next many months are about.
You know, the thing that was very clear in the weeks before and the days after the primary was this barrage of racist anti-Muslim attacks on you, equating you to a terrorist, saying you're a danger to the safety of Americans, especially Jewish Americans. And I'm going to repeat some of the attacks, not because I think they're okay to say, but I want listeners to understand what's being said. And it's not just from the right wing. and Republicans in office. It's also from other influential figures. Deborah Messing of Will and Grace posted online that you sided with terrorists and you celebrated 9/11. You were 9 when that happened. Republican Representative Nancy Mace posted a picture of you in your Eid outfit and wrote, "After 9/11, we said, never forget. I think we sadly have forgotten." Republican Representative Andy Ogle called you Little Muhammad and said you need to be deported and is calling for your denaturalization. Were you prepared for this level of bigotry?
It's unsurprising, and yet it's still deeply saddening. As many Muslims in this country know, to exist in public life is to have to deal with this kind of slander at a different scale. And it's part of why so many have thought that the safest place to live is in the shadows. And so much of my hope for this campaign was to bring the margins of our city into the mainstream. It's been very difficult to see just how much of this hatred has been normalized. And as you've said, it's not just Republican congresspeople, it's an actress of a show that I used to watch as a kid. And I think that ultimately my responsibility is to show that our vision for this city, it's a vision that is universal. It's a vision that wants to recognize the belonging of each and every New Yorker. And it's in stark contrast to this exclusionary vision that we see from so many. One that seeks to distract people from an inability to take care of working people by designating the enemies as the other. One of the most difficult parts of this, however, have been that the threats that have been made on my life and on people that I love are ones that fundamentally transform how you can live. And
so it's changed how you can live?
It has. It has. The fact that I now have to have security at all times. It's a different way of engaging with the world. But my responsibility is to showcase that this is but a drop in the bucket of how people actually feel in the city. You know, just a few days after I received a number of death threats and someone who said that he was going to blow up my car, which was news to me because I don't own a car. I walked the length of Manhattan to speak to New Yorkers. And I did it because I think that the way that we defeat this bigotry is by showcasing just how small of a minority it actually represents.
Sohran Mamdani, presumptive Democratic nominee for mayor in New York City. Thank you for sitting down with us.
Thank you so much.
In the country's second largest city, the U.S. Department of Justice is suing Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass and city legislators over L.A. sanctuary city laws. The Trump administration says Los Angeles is making it more difficult for the federal government to enforce its immigration laws. Steve Futterman reports from L.A.
It was back in April that President Trump signed an executive order going after sanctuary jurisdictions.
And it will direct the Attorney General and Secretary of Homeland Security to publish a list of state and local jurisdictions that obstruct the enforcement of federal immigration laws.
White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt made the announcement. Standing right next to her, Border Czar Tom Homan raised the specter of filing lawsuits.
I mean, the law is clear, and they're violating it, and this administration will take action.
The Justice Department says Los Angeles is obstructing the federal government's ability to enforce the law. The lawsuit argues that the city's, quote, refusal to cooperate with federal immigration authorities has led to lawlessness, rioting, looting, and vandalism, end quote. City Councilman Hugo Soto Martinez represents parts of L.A. where many people without legal status live. He feels the administration is intentionally focusing on Los Angeles.
Yeah, I think it's very clear to me that they are seeing Los Angeles as a place where they can test everything that they can. The lawsuits included the National Guard, the Marines, the tactics. They are using us as a laboratory.
LA's policy prevents city resources from being used for immigration enforcement. Mayor Bass did not comment. For NPR News, I'm Steve Futterman in Los Angeles.
This is NPR News.
It is 7:19. Thanks for listening to the Tuesday morning show on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr sitting in for Heidi Holton today with John Latimer.
Hey, good morning. We need to tell people that it's not going to be too bad that it will be warm this week and sunny, and maybe, just maybe, you want to get your lake kind of things done before
before the
weekend.
Before
the July looks like it's going to get rainy.
It's looking a little iffy, but Thursday, Great Lake Day.
Yeah, we will talk to Bob Konzemius in another hour or so.
Today should be a pretty great day.
Yeah.
It's a little cooler today than Thursday. And then tomorrow, we do have just like a slight chance of showers tomorrow, but we're looking at highs in the 80s most of the week. And a little warmer as we get closer to the end of the week.
Yeah, well, it'll be delightful. We receive support from Lakeland PBS. Stay connected with Lakeland News, offering local news, weather, and sports available on demand on PBS app.
We also thank the U of M Extension Forestry, hosting the Minnesota Woodland Steward Program in Itasca County to help develop a deeper understanding of forest stewardship and manage fire risk. Registration open until August 10th with a discount for Itasca County landowners. More info at My Minnesota Woods on Facebook.
The U.S. House recently voted to rescind federal funding for public media. The Senate is next. Public media, like KAXE, brings you fact-checked news, connection to community, and great music, free to everyone with no paywall. Public radio stations play a crucial role in getting timely, accurate emergency information to the public, especially in rural and underserved areas. Proposed cuts will hit rural and tribal stations the hardest. Now's the time. Tell Congress, protect the funding that keeps KAXE and stations like us on the air. ProtectMyPublicMedia.org will connect you to your elected officials. Don't forget, your voice matters.
Yes, thank
and
you.
They should add. They should add phenology to that list of
that's true
things that come, you know, across the airwaves for you in the mornings. And
that's true.
Yeah,
very important.
I'll be doing the phenology show sometime today.
Yeah, just a few minutes, correct?
I suppose. I haven't heard the song yet, so safe. Yeah.
Want to let you know that today there is a musical story time with Diddy Wish that's happening at the Grand Rapids Area Library this morning at 10:30. More live music tomorrow. Mike Mraz will be at Big Axe Brewing in Nisswa at 5 o'clock.
It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic, biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And just a quick note, for those of you like me who have been concerned over the lack of rainfall, June came in pretty close to average. At my house, I recorded in the month of June 4.25 inches of rain. And just a little bit on the plus side of 4 inches is what June usually brings. So in this area, at any rate, it was welcome. And for the most part, it fell, you know, a tenth of an inch at a time. But we did have a couple of big rainfalls. I had one 47 hundredths, one 67 hundredths, and one that was 1.93 inches. So three really big rain events, and the rest of it was, you know, between a tenth and two tenths of an inch, sometimes less than a tenth, sometimes, you know, five hundredths. And but it all added up, and it all made for a pretty nice recovery from what had been a pretty dry year up until that point. I put together a list of things that happen in July, because this is the 1st of July. And even though June went by like it was, F1 race car or something, it just seemed like it just barely started and suddenly we're in July. But at any rate, here are some things that you can look for during the month of July. In the first week of July, Alfalfa should bloom. You should be able to find nuts on your hazel, either American or beaked. I was out yesterday. Both of them, the nuts are now large enough that they are pretty easy to find. Red elderberry is going to be ripe this week. Ebony jewel wing, which is a lovely little damselfly, is going to be flying around open water and sometimes even back in the woods. I've run into them in some of the oddest places. Basswoods will begin to flower this week. Black-eyed Susans have begun to bloom. Canada thistle will be blooming. Cattail flowers are forming. Common milkweed and swamp milkweed will both be blooming in the first week. Cow parsnip. You are probably, if you're driving around this time of year, you are probably going by cow parsnip and not knowing it. It is first of all, it's a tall plant. It stands above everything in the ditch right now. It where I'm seeing it, it is the tallest thing in the ditch. And some of them are 4 feet. Some of them are closer to 6 feet. But they're topped with a big disc, sometimes 3 to 5 to maybe 6 inches in diameter, disc of white flowers. And it looks a lot like yarrow, which is a white disc of flowers, but much shorter. The cow parsnip also has these huge leaves. The leaves are as big as your hand, and they're shaped a lot like a maple leaf. So they're very heavily lobed. And that plant is cow parsnip. And it's blooming right now. And you should be able to find it all over the area. It's standing up above just about everything in the fields. Also this week, sandhill cranes should be bringing their little colts out to the fields. You might get a chance to see one. Pin cherry and juneberry will be getting ripe this week. Fireweed will be blooming. Let's see. That's about it for the first week. The second week of June, showy lady slippers will complete their flowering, and they're well on their way to being done. So if you're going to see one of the showy lady slippers, you better get out there and look in the next week or so. Rabbit's foot clover will bloom this in the second week of July. A lovely butterfly called the Atlantis fritillary will be out flying about on the second week of July. Baby eagles will fledge in the second week of July. We will see the last of the wild iris, the blue flag. Raspberries will become ripe. Evening primrose will bloom. Blue vervain, mullein, tansy. All of those things will bloom in the second week of July. Water hemlock, a very poisonous plant that is expanding its range and is now common in northern Minnesota, will be blooming in the ditches in the second week in July. And before it begins to bloom, I will post some pictures and describe it for you in great detail, probably in the second week in July. Mountain maple seeds will begin to ripen. Early goldenrod will bloom in the second week of July. The monarch butterflies, the next generation of monarch butterflies, will be hatching out and flying around. And a lovely sort of fireweed-like flower called the purple-fringed orchid will begin to bloom in the second week in July. Third week in July, juvenile hummingbirds will start coming to the feeders. Large-leafed asters will bloom. Spotted touch-me-not will bloom. Bluebead lily berries will get ripe. Blueberries will be ripe. Choke cherries will be ripe. Clasping leaf dogbane and meadow sweet will come up and bloom. Burdock will bloom. Creeping bellflower will bloom. Raspberries will become ripe. And ghost pipe, that white plant that is without chlorophyll and found usually in sandy soils, will become ripe in the third week of July. And in the fourth week of July, tall blue lettuce, boneset, bull thistle, Canada goldenrod, flat-topped aster, northern heart-leaved aster, all of those flowers will bloom. Red maples, you will see by the end of July. I know this is hard to hear, but you will see the beginnings of some leaves turning red on the red maples. And spreading dogbane, which is right now absolutely covered in these little bell-shaped flowers. They're white with little pink streaks in them. They are a huge attractant to all sorts of butterflies and hummingbirds, and they will begin to turn yellow at the end of July as they sort of gear up and get ready for fall. And the tall sunflower, the woodland sunflower, will begin to bloom in the end of July. Looking at some of the things that I've noted over the past week here in the Grand Rapids area, clasping leaf dogbane is budded and about to begin to bloom. Let's see, why aren't you? I'm having a little trouble with the machinery here. Okay, let's try this. Sorry for the delay here. Here we go. Common milkweed is blooming. Swamp milkweed is budded and ready to bloom. Clasping leaf dogbane is budded and ready to bloom. I saw my first red admiral butterfly yesterday. And the red admiral is a little bit smaller than the white admiral. It's a fairly dark brown, almost black looking butterfly with a bright red stripe running through its wings. And it looks a lot like the Milbert's tortoiseshell butterfly, but it is separate and is now in the area. The nanny berry in my yard has lots of fruit on it. The pin cherry has lots of fruit on it. I'm seeing a lot of fruit on juneberries, pin cherries, nanny berries. My choke cherries aren't carrying that much fruit, but the rest of them, they look pretty strong right now. I told you that the tall blue lettuce will be blooming late in July. Right now it's about 3 feet tall. By the time it gets ready to bloom, it'll be between 6 and 9 feet tall. Yeah, 9 feet. And it grows from the ground up every year. It's an amazing plant. Hazelnut, both beaked and American, are showing signs. You can see the fruit on them now. It'll be 6 to 7 weeks before they get ripe. But keep an eye on them, because once they do get ripe, they're going to disappear in a heartbeat. Raspberry is still in bloom, probably at its last peak, and there are some berries forming. Blackberry, same thing, still some flowers on the blackberries, but the fruits are forming. Spreading dogbane is probably at its peak of flowering. Black bindweed, this is kind of an interesting little plant. Red stems, it's a vine, it climbs up over everything. The flowers are like smaller than a match head, and they're white. So they're tiny and they're white, and there are lots of them all over this bindweed, black bindweed. The other bindweed that is blooming right now is hedge bindweed. And the only thing they have in common that I can discern is the last name. The leaf is pretty close to the same, but the hedge bindweed looks like a morning glory. It is that big 2 to 3 inch white, sometimes pink flower streaked. It's a very tall, very large flower, and it grows on these sort of viney bindweed plants. So I guess that black bindweed and hedge bindweed do have that in common. I noticed a lot of fruits on the blue bead lily. It's still green as can be, so it won't be anything that you'll want to be. Well, you wouldn't want to eat it if it were ripe. It's one of that's that bright blue berry that you see in the fall or in August, and you think, why hasn't anybody eaten that? That looks really good. Well, nobody's eaten it because they're terrible. They're filled with chemistry that makes them really bad. So that's why blue bead lily sort of persists. Something, birds of some sort eat them. And how they get them down and get them through their system, I don't know. But it's nothing you and I want to eat, trust me. Tufted loosestrife and marsh cinquefoil are both blooming along the edge of the lake. Hairy vetch continues to be blooming very heavily. There's a second vetch in flower. Well, there were three. There was the Canada milk vetch, and then hairy vetch. And then there's a third one called the marsh vetchling, which has, if you're thinking about the hairy vetch, the hairy vetch has like clusters of, dense clusters of flowers that might go from 6 to 15 in a group. The marsh vetchling might have 3 to 5. And the flower of the marsh vetchling is pink with a kind of a white throat. Now, they don't all behave the same. They have a bunch, they have a myriad of sort of colors, and they cover the entire spectrum from pink to red to white. But never, the whole flower is never going to be white, but it will have, the ones I'm looking at have this white lower tongue that kind of sticks out, marsh vetchling. The Virginia tanuchid moth is hanging out amongst the spreading dogbane. This rather nondescript gray-winged moth that's about an inch and a quarter long flutters around, and you wouldn't pay any attention to it except that the body, or right behind the eyes at the start of the thorax, is bright orange, like the color of orange peel orange. And the legs and the rest of the thorax are bright blue. And so it is, it's the body that catches your eye in the case of the Virginia tanuchid moth, which is, it's one of the tussock moths. When you see the, you may have already seen the caterpillar of this moth, but probably not realized that that was what it was going to become. Timothy grass is beginning to flower. The red squirrels have begun to cut the Norway pine cones, and I saw some little ends of some of the white spruce were also cut and laying in the driveway, and they cut them off, and then they come down and pick them up, and they take them and hide them and go from there. The bur oak in my yard, I can now see the acorns on the bur oak. Up until a week ago, it was almost impossible to see the acorns on the bur oaks. They just hadn't gotten that big. I was going over to visit a friend the other day, and or driving down the gravel road that goes into his house. I got the dog with me. The windows are down. I see a mother skunk and six little stinkers hanging out with her. And I swerved kind of way over so that I wouldn't get too close. And the dog, of course, got her head out the window, and she's like, "Oh, let me out. Let's play." Like, no, there won't be any fun to be had there. But it was fun to see the little guys getting out and getting around. Winterberry, the northern holly, is beginning to bloom, and that is about 10 days earlier than I've found in the past. Whether or not that's indicative of anything, I don't know, but it's if you're out wandering around and you see these plants with these tiny white flowers, the flowers are probably a quarter of an inch across, and there'll be clusters of them, and those will become the berries of the northern holly before the winter falls. Smooth sumac and staghorn sumac are both in flower right now. Tall meadow rue is in flower. Black-eyed Susan's is in flower. Common milkweed is in flower. Lots and lots of flowering plants out there for you to enjoy. And some that I haven't discovered yet. So by all means, if you are out and about and you have got your thinking cap on and your eyes are open and you got your phone with you, record some of your observations and share them with us. We'd love to hear from you. That's the Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk again next week.
It is Tuesday morning here on KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr with John Latimer. We got a text from Todd in Brainerd. He sent a beautiful photo of flowers. He said, "Seeing these in my woods for the first time, are they spotted bellflowers?" Ooh. So John is taking a look, and stay tuned, and just momentarily he's walking back to his microphone.
Wandering around. Yeah, I don't know the spotted bellflower. They certainly are bell-shaped. First thought was white rattlesnake.
They're plant. Very, like, these little, yeah, pointed down, like, bell, kind of bell-shaped, but skinny, and they're beautiful pink.
Yeah, that's sort of typical of the white rattlesnake plant. It's got another name that I'm not coming up with, but I look at the leaves and then start there. The leaf of the white rattlesnake plant is kind of lobed and pointy, thistle-like, I guess, would be a good way of describing it. But it's been a little while. I don't have them growing at my house. I used to see them on the mail route. But this seems a little early for that plant to bloom, but this is Brainerd, of course, and so it's entirely possible. I'll continue to research this, and hopefully I can come up with an answer before next week. So stay tuned. We'll try and figure out what plant it is for sure.
All right. Support for KAXE comes from Clockau Brewing Company in Grand Rapids, making traditional old world styles of beer as well as modern classics for 7 years now. Their tap room is open Monday through Saturday, noon to 8, Sunday, noon to 6. More info at clockaubrewing.com. And we thank Sanford Health with primary care locations in Bemidji and across the upper Midwest. Sanford Health is committed to providing care close to home. Learn more at sanfordhealth.org.
We receive support from the University of Minnesota Extension Forestry, hosting the Minnesota Woodland Steward Program in Itasca County. More info at My Minnesota Woods on Facebook.
It is time now for best wishes. We'll do our best to wish our friends and neighbors happy anniversary, happy birthday. We just have two today. We want to wish a very...
Go ahead.
Okay. We want to wish a very happy birthday to Nancy Raymond from Grand Rapids. And
happy birthday, Nancy. And Ryan Morgan is turning 45 today. Ryan lives in Bemidji, 45-year-old in Bemidji. I'll bet you he's gotten plenty of exercise in the last week. He's probably been out cleaning up in his yard or somebody else's. I can remember being 45. Boy. Life was good.
Well, our best wishes to you all. If you have birthday or anniversary greetings to share, text us 218-326-1234. It is July 1st, and it made me think of this song.
Hanging in the window in the evening on a Friday night. Little light is shining through the window, lets me know everything's alright. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Paper laying on the sidewalk, a little music from the house next door. So I walked on up to the doorstep, through the screen and across the floor. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind. Makes me feel fine, blowing judgment in my mind. Days of summer, the jasmine's in bloom. July is dressed up and playing her tune. And I come home from a hard day's work, and you're waiting there, a care in the world. See the smile waiting in the kitchen, food cooking on the plates for two. Feel the arms that reach out to hold me in the evening when the day is through. Summer breeze makes me feel fine, blowing through the jasmine in my mind.
There's a song that just says summer.
Yeah,
summer,
indeed.
By Susan Croft. It is the Tuesday morning show here on People Powered KAXE. I'm Jennifer Barr sitting in for Heidi Holton today with John Latimer. Coming up at about 8:15, we're going to check in with Tornado Bob on the big weather picture. We'll get a kind of see what's ahead for this week and maybe what we can expect this July. And then coming up about 1 hour from now, maybe a little less, we'll be talking with Mike Lynch of Forest Stewards Guild. We'll be learning about the Forestry for Minnesota Birds Project. And then 9 o'clock, it's Headwaters with Malachi Coons.
The weather for today, sunny, highs near 83, slight chance of showers late this afternoon, west winds at 5 to 20. Tonight, partly cloudy, lows from 59 to 63. Wednesday, a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly sunny with highs in the low to mid 80s. Sunny on Thursday with highs from 83 to 87. Southeast winds at 5 to 10, gusting higher. So that's going to be a pretty nice week coming in toward our weekend of the 4th of July, which comes on Friday. It looks like Friday and Saturday might be rainy, but as you mentioned, we'll get Bob to gonna straighten that out for us. We'll have Bob order up some nice weather for the 4th of July.
Yep, he pulls the strings. Support comes from Hot Tubs of Northern Minnesota on Middle School Avenue in Bemidji, offering hot tubs, pool tables, saunas, and more. Learn more online at hottubsmn.com.
The History of Jazz airs Saturdays at noon and Sundays at 4 with host Paul Kivy. Exploring the distinctly American art form. Hear more Sundays at 6 p.m. with volunteer-hosted jazz on America Avenue. And, that's always a nice program. I do enjoy a jazz. Find out how you can celebrate America's independence throughout northern Minnesota with KAXE's Guide to Fireworks and Parades at KAXE.org. If we're missing your local event, email us at news@kaxe.org. Yeah, we want to have everybody's, not your backyard fireworks, but just about everybody else. So
it is an extensive guide, and fireworks happening at various dates throughout this week. Some, I believe, starting tomorrow night. I know Bemidji's is tomorrow night. So, check that out, kaxe.org. Tuesday Summer Concert Series continues in Grand Rapids today at noon at Community Presbyterian Church, featuring the Patchwork Ensemble playing uniquely American songs. Lunch is available for purchase after the concert. Also happening tonight, the Bemidji High School Marching Band invites you to meet the band. That's 5:30 at the Bemidji High School. Enjoy a pulled pork dinner followed by a performance of this year's show.
That sounds like fun.
You can hear a conversation. Andrew DeZingle talked with two of the marching band students, drum majors, that you can listen to that at KAXE.org.
Were you in band?
I was in band, yep. I played clarinet. We did not have a marching band at that point. I think it had gotten the axe several years before I was on the scene.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, I played band, and then...
Could you have played the clarinet and walked at the same time?
I don't know. I never tried it. So I am not very coordinated, so I think it would have been a struggle. That is our question of the week. We want to know if you've been in parades.
And
we had a community band in the summer, and I did that and partially to earn my band letter. But because that was one thing you could do to kind of get points for that. So I did the community band in the summer, and that was all ages. You know, there was some kids I knew from school, people that, you know, were older that still played their instruments. So it was a great group, and we would, you know, perform at in New London and Spicer throughout the summer, but we played on a trailer in the 4th of July parade. And both years, I believe that I played in the community band, it did rain. And sat there, you know, we prayed, went on, and played "You're a Grand Old Flag" over and over again.
Oh.
While getting wet. And my mom's like, "Your clarinet's going to get ruined."
Yeah, I was curious. How is it with a clarinet in the rain? I mean.
You know, mine was not a wooden clarinet. They used to be made out of wood long ago.
Right,
but mine was more of the resin. So
I see.
I don't know. I think it was okay.
What about the reed? Was that a problem?
That was just in my mouth anyway.
So yeah.
Needed to be wet.
Hold it out in the rain. Get it nice and damp and stick it in your mouth and get a little drink of rainwater while you're playing.
Yep.
Some of my sisters played clarinet. Some played the saxophone.
Mm-hmm.
I tried the trombone for about 4 weeks, and I not only annoyed myself, but I annoyed pretty much anybody that was within hearing distance of me. And so, I moved on to other things. Music is not, I love I listen to music. I love to dance,
mm-hmm.
but I am definitely not a musician by any stretch of the imagination. I could maybe pound my head on the table to, you know, create a drum beat, but chances are it wouldn't be in time to anything. I can't ever recall being in a parade. I was part and parcel of, we always used to go down to Hill City mm-hmm. for the 4th of July. And one of the things that the Hill City town did was they got a dump truck full of sawdust and they threw change in there. Nickels, dimes, quarters, half dollars, an occasional silver dollar, I heard, though mm-hmm. I never found one. And then they'd turn you loose, you know, 50 kids or however many kids were there would fly into that pile and just, it would be, you know, it would be a pile like 3 or 4 feet high. And by the time you were done, it was an inch thick and about 50 feet in circumference. So,
yeah.
Or in diameter, rather. It was, but that was as close to being in a parade as I've ever been.
Okay.
That I can recall.
Yeah. I've been in a number of things, and I've been in the Tall Timber Day Parade here, and I think it's fun to be in a parade. You see all kinds of people you know, and it's like, you know, hey, you know. So that is fun. I also enjoy watching a parade. It's hard to say which I like better.
I think if I lived in a town where a parade went by my house, I might glance out the window, but I probably wouldn't go outside.
Yeah.
Not a parade guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Not unless there's a pile of sawdust with some dollars in it.
Yeah. Well, I remember once when my son was young, we were sitting for the Tall Timber Days Parade right near Old Central School, right in the heart of Grand Rapids there. And they had a dump truck with candy.
Oh.
That they dumped. It wasn't full, like it wasn't a full dump truck, but the truck stopped and it went and it pile of candy.
Oh my gosh.
It just vroom.
Yeah, I could see how that could draw a child.
Oh yeah.
It might draw.
I think it was one of the greatest days of his life. Well, that's maybe an
certainly one of the memorable ones.
A great moment, let's just say.
It was memorable, I'm sure. Yeah.
So So let us know your parade experiences. You can text in 218-326-1234.
Support comes from Cass Soil and Water Conservation District, offering a variety of native plant and seed mixes for different growing conditions to assist creating stable shorelines and habitat for beneficial insects and birds. Online ordering now open for pickup Friday, August 1st. Info at casswcd.org.
Temperatures. Let's do an update on our temperatures. It is getting warmer for sure. We've got 64 in Park Rapids. That appears to be one of the cooler spots, all the way up to 68 in Brainerd. Currently 65 in Bemidji, 67 in Grand Rapids and Hibbing. We can expect sunny skies today with highs near 83, slight chance of showers late this afternoon, and west winds 5 to 20. Partly cloudy tonight, lows 59 to 63. Tomorrow, about a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, mostly sunny, highs in the low to mid 80s. And getting warmer on Thursday, sunny, highs 83 to 87.
The Park Rapids Water Ski Team performs Saturday, July 12th at 6 p.m. at Halverson Beach in Nevis. Bring your own chair or beach towel. Water ski team. Do you ever water ski?
I do not water ski, but my hometown has a great water ski team.
Really?
That I would, they would do shows every Friday night, and they've competed nationally and won nationally.
Really? So, and yeah. And here we are in Itasca County with 1,007 lakes and no water ski teams.
No, but Park Rapids, I just learned, has one. And then the Brainerd area, I know they have one too. And they make pyramids and do jumps.
Oh, my.
And,
wow.
All kinds of things, yeah.
Yeah, we were hard-pressed as a child. I loved to water ski, and we were always trying to find somebody who had a boat with a motor big enough to pull us. Loved water skiing. I water skied until, if my wife's not listening, until my mid-60s, and then I stopped. But I told her that I stopped about 10 years before I stopped.
Right.
Yeah. I still water ski a little bit because it's fun. I mean, it's just a riot. I love to water ski. I would do it. No, I wouldn't do it. I might do it. I probably could be persuaded to do it. I'm that irresponsible. I'm sure I would pay a serious price.
Yeah. We're going to listen to our album of the week right now. It's Boleros Psicodelicos 2. By Adrian Quesada. He is a musician based in Austin, originally from Laredo, Texas. This is a second version of an album that was produced remotely during the pandemic, so he wanted to update that. And this features lots of collaborations of contemporary artists from a variety of Latin backgrounds, Colombian, Chilean, Cuban, and more. The song we're going to hear this morning from Adrian Quesada is called Te Vas y Yo Te Dejo.
Te vas y yo te dejo, porque acabar así con nuestro amor, si pudo ser eterno entre nosotros y no supimos conservar esa ilusión. Te vas y yo te dejo, nos vamos a encontrar después. Te llevas el recuerdo de mis sueños, yo me llevo el perfume de tu piel. Después de habernos dado tanto tiempo, de haber pasado juntos un invierno, te vas y será el momento de olvidarnos. Nunca sabremos quién fue capaz de perdonar. Y nos separamos después de tanto tiempo. Nos dimos amor, amor no es cierto. Te vas y yo te dejo. Nos vamos a encontrar quizás después. Te llevas el recuerdo de mis sueños y yo me llevo el perfume de tu piel.